All right, while they're finishing Elizabeth, let's just look what's on the chart for Mary. Nurturing, a virgin, a servant, descendant of David, favored, betrothed, highly favored, blessed, committed, considered, joyful, knew Jesus was special. Don't we all think our children are special? Guarded in her heart in awe, new mom to the Most High, a little timid. Blessed, believing servant of God, submissive maid, trusting, brave, troubled. Thank you, girls. Elizabeth, a wife, older, daughter of Aaron, righteous, blessed because she believed, felt disgraced, reserved, thankful, blameless, filled with the Holy Spirit, and she rejoiced. Those are all descriptions of two women who were known in the Bible as women of promise. Why were they women of promise? Because some of those characteristics, to be honest with you, it's characteristics that we all have. They were women of promise because they had a role to play in fulfilling the promise that God put forth. In Genesis 12, God told Abraham the big three-part promise that when we were little we all memorized. I will make of your people a great nation. Through your seed, all nations will be blessed. I will give a land to your people. And that promise was repeated from David. And then he promised it again to Isaac. And then the promise was made again to Jacob. And then all of a sudden, in 2 Samuel 7, a promise is made to David. And it says, through your seed, I will put a king on the throne who will reign forever. Then we learn in Isaiah, the 7th chapter, all of a sudden, there's another piece of the promise that we find out. Not only is through this lineage, all nations will be blessed, there'll be a land, we'll make of you a great nation, but all of a sudden, in Isaiah, it says that the king will reign forever and he will be born of a virgin. God knew at that moment in time who that person was be. He could have actually said, the Savior will be born of a virgin named Mary. She will travel to Bethlehem with her husband and have him. But the piece that God revealed of his promise was that the Savior would be born of a virgin. He knew at that time that it was Mary. Just like he knows you and I. So let's look at the second part of that paper. It says, part two, we are women of promise. Now, we could have listed three pages as to why we're women of promise. I just picked three, just because I'm a math teacher and the number three is just a good number. It's just three that we came up with from reading through Luke. You know what? What would you put in the blanks? Let's ignore the blank for a second. Number one of the responsibilities as women or mothers is to something... Leaders in the church. What could we fill in those blanks? Support. What else? Oh, I'm hearing encourage. I heard something else. Raise up. Well, let's see. It could be any of those, right? But there's four blanks, and in my mind, I just picked one. So I went with more of what Amanda was saying, and what I was going to go with was one of our responsibilities as women or mothers is to raise the next generation of leaders in the church. To raise the next generation of leaders in the church. I want to read to you real quick what the angel said to Mary. And this is in Luke 1:31. Starts in Luke 1:31. And before this, the angel came to her. He told her not to be afraid. And starting in verse 31, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. No pressure. What if somebody came to you and said, and this was an angel that you knew was telling you the truth, came to you and said, I'm telling you right now, by this time next year, you're going to have a baby, and that person will become the next president of the United States, guaranteed. And you knew it was true. would you be a little bit more mindful as to how you were raising this child? The angel came to Mary and he told her all these great things about this baby that she was having. That is much more important than raising the president of the United States. And raising the future leaders of the church is so much more important than raising the next president of the United States. Even though I hope one of them gets there sometime. I'm just saying. That's our responsibility. Now, we have people here that are moms. If you're a mom, raise your hand. If you're not a mom, raise your hand. We have people here that are not moms. Maybe they're never going to be a mom. Maybe they're just not to the point where they're going to be a mom yet. But that doesn't mean that we don't have an influence and we don't have a responsibility to help nurture and raise up the next generation of the church. I'm going to give you a story. Those of you that, you know, that are still scratching your head trying to figure out who Lana is, my brother also attends here, and he usually sits there, and he has a basketball team of kids. He has four kids, and his name is Derek. Derek and I grew up in West Texas in a little town called Big Spring. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom. She almost did. I did exactly what my mom did. She stayed at home, and then she went back to work when we got older. Well, while she was staying at home, she decided that she was going to go back and work on her master's degree. The only problem is there was one class that she needed to complete, and she was driving to Sol Ross University, which was a few towns over, and it was only held on Wednesday night. They never held it any other time but Wednesday night. My dad worked out of town from Tuesday to Thursday, so my mom was in a little bit of a bind. Irene Reed, an older lady at our congregation, heard about my mom's problem. She had no children of her own. She was married. She was older. And she went to my mom and she said, I will keep Lana and Derek for you. Every Wednesday, my mom would take us to her house. She would play with us. She would feed us supper. She would get us ready for church. And mind you, we weren't in kindergarten yet. She would take us to church. She would bring us back to her house. We would eat crackers and milk, and then we would go lay down until my mom came back. Irene Reed was not a mom, but she impacted my life. She was tired. I didn't realize how tired she was, right? Until now I'm a mom, and I get it now. That woman must have been exhausted. But without fail, she would always play with us and make sure we were in church on Wednesdays. That has stuck with me. More so now that I'm older than ever. In the big timeline of my life, Irene Reed probably took up this much space, but she made an impact. Think about, no matter who you are, no matter how old you are, think about all the people that look up to you, just in this congregation alone. When I was in college, I looked up to the moms that have high schoolers. I just was in awe of them. Now I realize, holy cow, I'm there. And that's a little nerve-wracking. You know, I have to tell you, usually when they ask people to give talks like this and help out, it's usually the older women, right? And so when they asked me, I was like, wow, cool. And then I was like, oh, I'm there. Girls, teenage girls, I don't care how old you are. Kids are going to look up to you. They notice what you do. I notice Miss Garner all the time. And quite frankly, Miss Garner, if you want to zero in on me, I'd just love you to zero in on me any day of the week. No matter who you are, no matter where you are in life, you can always influence. And the biggest thing, the biggest responsibility we have is to influence the future generation of the church. It's only as strong as the next generation. All right, number two, regardless of, and we got a bunch of blanks to fill in there, so let's just look at something here. Let's go back to our chart. Elizabeth and Mary were alike in a lot of ways, but there were some ways that they were different. So turn to your neighbor or turn to the people next to you and describe just a list. How were they different? And you don't have to go real deep into the knowledge well on this. How were they different? Go. Okay, did you come up with something? Doesn't require a lot of deep thinking on this. Believe me, I'm not a deep thinker. How are they different? What's one way?
Age.
Wait, say it again.
Age.
Thank you. That's the first one I came up with too. Fill in the blank. Age. Regardless of age. Elizabeth was older. Mary was younger. We don't know exactly how old she was, but according to tradition, we can probably guesstimate that she was a young teenager. The next way they were different, think about this. Elizabeth was a daughter of Aaron. Well, Mary came from nobility too, but at this point in time, Elizabeth was the wife of who? A priest. Now, back in those days on the social ladder, what was Mary? Mary was, in our terms, she was engaged. She was pregnant. Her fiancé wanted to put her away until the angel came to her and said, "Do not put her away." Mary was so low in social status that when they went to Bethlehem, they couldn't even get a room at the inn. So there's a difference in social status here. So guess what we're going to put in the next part? Social status. Some of us live in nice big houses. Some of us live in apartments. Some of us live in a trailer. Some of us live in a modest house in a modest neighborhood. Some of us have money. Some of us don't have money. Some of us have a job that's high powered and we're well known. And some of us work at home with our kids. It doesn't matter. Regardless of age, social status, or we didn't get this one on the list, but why had Elizabeth not had a baby? It says in the scripture she was barren. Mary, she wasn't barren. She had Jesus and she had children after that. So, physical ability. Regardless of age, social status, or physical ability, we all can glorify God. No matter who we are, no matter where we are, no matter what circumstance we have in life, every single one of us can glorify God. Let's look at the third one. I'm just going to tell you what goes there because that's just the Lana thing. I just made this up. God has known me since the beginning. And notice that beginning is in quotes. Why is it in quotes? Because my feeble mind cannot wrap around the fact that God is an eternal being and there was no beginning and there is no end. So for me to even describe what I'm thinking, I have to put a beginning to it. He's known us. We're special to him. Just like in Isaiah, when he told Isaiah that the Savior is going to come and he's going to be born of a virgin, he knew who Mary was. He's known us from the beginning. He could have been with Noah building the ark and he could have told you, you know what? Susan McFarland is going to be sitting in a pew right there in February of 2020 because God's all knowing. We're special to him. He knows the hairs of our head. He knows everything about us. We're women of promise, every single one of us. All right, now, here's what we're going to do with this. Take all this, women of promise, Mary, Elizabeth, just take it and leave it right here because we're switching gears, got it? Just take it, close it out in your mind, put it here. Let's go over here. Who noticed this when they walked in? Like, admit it. Some of y'all were like, door prize. No. Sorry. All right. But there is something in this box, and I'm just going to start pulling out stuff, and I want you to tell me what they all have in common. Unopened. Unopened. Never used. Never used. Still in the package. Unopened. Beautiful candle, still wrapped up. Sonic gift card. You can't see? Unopened. Swarovski crystal. It's really not in here, it's just the box. A book, still in the plastic wrap. And Karen, my sister-in-law, do not laugh at this. A Christmas gift from my mom. And notice that it still has the tag attached to it. What do those all have in common? Talk to your neighbor real quick. Yeah. They were all gifts given to me, and I hesitate to even say that to y'all because, like, I know y'all are going to be like, I'm never giving her a gift. They were all gifts given to me that have never been used, and it didn't take me long to find them in my closet, I must say. All right, so flip to page 4. Remember how I kind of had you draw it and put it in 4 different boxes? This is what we're going to answer. In the first box, we're going to write the question, why would we not use our gifts? And leave room to answer. You might want to put some bullets down there. Why would we not use our gifts? Second box is question number 2. What happens to our gifts if we don't use them? Question number 3. Y'all ready? Am I going too fast? Okay. Question number 2. Again, to repeat, what happens to our gifts if we don't use them? Question number 3. When we don't use our gifts, what message are we sending the giver? Ow, that one hurts a little bit. When we don't use our gifts, what message are we sending the giver? The last question. When we don't use our gifts, how does it make the giver feel? When we don't use our gifts, how does it make the giver feel? All right, those questions are going to stay up there. I'm looking at the clock. Let's take about 4 minutes. You can talk to the person next to you, or you can scribe these on your own. Just bullet out some ideas. How would you answer this question? And the easiest thing to do is to keep in mind the visual that's up here. Let's talk about these physical gifts right here on this table. Why would I not use them? What happens to them if I don't use them? How would it feel? How would the giver feel if they found out I never used them? And the third question was, what message am I sending the giver? So think about it. Think about those physical gifts on the table. Go. Okay, we're going to go ahead and start sharing out. Why would we not use our gifts? I heard we don't appreciate them. What else? We don't like them. Can I just say? Like, okay, I get, like, I love my mom dearly, and I get it, and I see this, and I'm just like, okay, this isn't me. But my mom can wear the very same shirt, like, to church, and she rocks it out and looks awesome, and then I go home, and I'm like, oh, I want to wear it now. Okay, so, yes. What else? Go ahead. Wait, say that again, louder. Oh. What else? Thank you. Wait, say it again, Allie. Did you hear what she said? We don't see the potential in the gift. Anything else? Oh, man, y'all are making me exercise. Did y'all hear that? We don't see its value. Somebody else saw value in it. We don't see it. Swarovski crystal. More to come on that. All right, yes. We're lazy. Like, it would take effort to use that gift. I'm not putting forth the effort. Thank you. We just have no place for it. And we'd have to find a place. We'd have to clear something out. We just don't have a place for it. Thank you. Y'all are just right on track with where I was going. We decide not to use it. We're going to save it for a rainy day, a special occasion. Go ahead. It was forgotten. Yeah, I do that a lot. What else? Just ungrateful, right? And y'all, really, I love my mom. I don't want y'all thinking I'm ungrateful. But truly, did y'all hear that? She said we could view it as a control issue. My mother could be showing me what I should be wearing. Let's hope not, because my mother would dress me in all leopard print. Say it again. Fear. Maybe somebody gave us a gift, and we're out of our comfort zone with that gift, and we're a little fearful of using it. All right, so, oh, go ahead, Amanda.
I say sometimes we don't like it, we want something else.
Oh, we want to return it. Notice the tag? There's a reason. All right, so here's the reasons why I didn't use these gifts. Number one, I just wasn't comfortable with this one. It's just not my style. Number two, this gift, I just don't have time to use it. I don't have time to read. This gift, I want to keep this one to myself because this is from Bath & Body Works, and this is Kitchen Spice, and it's my favorite soap in the whole world. And sometimes I walk in there, I don't even know if it's been discontinued, but I don't want to put it in the kitchen because I know that my husband Tim will come in like five pumps, and it's half the way down, and I don't want it used. So instead, we're all there, aren't we? Okay, thank you. So instead, I'm not going to put it out because I don't want it used up. Instead, you know where it is? It's in a box in the closet. Enough said on this, right? I don't want to burn up the candle. And I don't really have a place for it in my house. Okay, this, I don't value this because I don't drink coffee. A teacher gave me a coffee mug. It was on my desk Monday morning. I told her thank you. Don't think I'm not ungrateful. I told her thank you, but notice that it's still in the wrapper. I'm not a coffee drinker. It's not valuable to me. These notes and these sticky notes, I'm saving this for a special occasion. Somebody said that, right? We're on track, girl. I don't want to just use this on everything, so I'm going to save it for something special. Now, here's the problem with this. I have saved sticky notes in my drawer at work for that special occasion, and then when I pulled it out to use it 3 years later, they didn't work anymore because the stickum was all gone and they were all ripping to shreds when I pulled them off. That worked well. The Sonic gift card, I just forgot I even had it, to be honest with you. I found it in the drawer the other day. $15. This, I just don't want to use it up. It's a notepad. It's got the nice little squares of note stuff. It's Vera Bradley, for Pete's sakes. And it's notepads, and it's got the nice coordinated pens that are still in the box. I just don't want to use it up because it's so pretty. So I'm going to let it sit on my desk because it sits just like this on my desk when all the teachers walk in. So instead, I'm going to let it sit on my desk, still wrapped up. It's all dusty. I'm going to have to dust it off. And then the pens, the ink's going to get all crusty when I decide to use it, and they're not going to be worth anything. Swarovski crystal, I didn't even know what it was. I shop at Walmart. My mom gave this to me for Christmas one year, and I pulled it out, and I'm like, thanks, Mom. My mom and dad had gone overseas, and they went to actually the factory where they make this or whatever they call it, and she brought it back, and it was in her suitcase. Like, she carried it on the plane and wrapped it up in Christmas and gave it to me, and it was so special, and I opened it. I'm like, thank you, Mom. Do you know where I put it? Right on the shelf next to this plastic glass bird thing that my kids bought me for probably 98 cents when they were in second grade. Because that has value too. I didn't know what I had. I didn't even know what Swarovski crystal was. It stayed in this box in my closet for the longest time until my mom came one day and said, "Where's that bird I bought you?" Flip back to page 2. Now, for those of you that are visual learners, it's going to bug you that at the top, we're not answering that because we flipped over on page 4 and answered it. So if you're a visual learner, it's going to bug you. Put an X on it or put C, page 4. Because the only thing that we're going to do on the bottom of page 2 is the box. And I'm just going to spell it out for you. You know by now, you've made the connection that yes, that was a box of physical gifts, but we can make the same connection to the spiritual gifts and the talents that we have that God has blessed us with. So think about this. Why would we not use the talents that God has given us? What happens if we don't use our talents that God has given us? Look, here's a personal thing. I know I'm partially deaf, and I know one day my hearing's going to be totally gone, and I'm not going to be able to stand up and give presentations in front of teachers. I'm not going to be able to stand and talk to a group of women and teach a Bible class. I know that. So if I don't use my talent now, I'm not going to use it at all. Number 3, when we don't use our gifts, what message are we sending the giver? What message are we sending to God? Think about it. What message are we sending to God if we don't use the talents that he's blessed us with? And how does that make God feel? The bottom in the box, here's what we're going to put. We should, number 1, recognize our gifts and talents. Because sometimes we have talents that we didn't even know that we had. Number 2, we should value our gifts and talents. Maybe we don't want them, but we need to value them and we need to be thankful for them. The 3rd thing, we need to use our gifts and talents. Because if we don't use them, what message are we sending? And Kay's going to talk some more about that. If you flip to page 3, and I'm looking at the clock, and we don't have time to do this, but what this is, it's a talents or a gift. It's an inventory. It's just things that we can do. And y'all, this is not an exhaustive list. This is just something I sat in front of the computer and came up with. But I could add stuff to it, like being a good listener. Anticipating somebody's needs, zeroing in on somebody, right? We can keep adding to that list. So my challenge to you would be tonight or tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, sit down and pull this out and put some checks on things you can do. And what I would suggest is do this. Put the checks on the things you can do, but circle the ones you are going to do because there's a difference. In fact, let me read this real quick. And y'all, don't think for a minute that I know Tim Tebow is not an inspired man of God. I got that. I know that. But sometimes ordinary people can say things in a way that stand out. And so if you don't mind, I would like to read just a small passage of his book. He is a professional quarterback. He plays for the Denver Broncos. He was a highly touted high school quarterback. ESPN made videos about him when he was in high school. He is known now in the public as being a Christian, as being somebody with high morals. But let me read what he put in his book. My parents always told me from an early age that we all have the ability to influence others, whether through our words or actions or both. God is in control of the big picture. But I'm responsible for using my talents, no matter how big, whatever my age, or wherever I am, no matter what is going on in my life at any time. We all know of people who thought they could use their talents tomorrow. We have all procrastinated in such a way that often to our personal regret. It happens time and time again, putting off things that we convince ourselves might be better, more meaningful, more appropriate for another time, that special time. So often that better time either never comes or really isn't better or more appropriate after all. And then sadly, the window of opportunity closes. We all have talents that can bless the lives of others, no matter who we are, wherever we find ourselves, whatever we're involved in, no matter our age or station in life. Talents that, when shared with others, can make a positive difference in the world. At the bottom of that gift inventory, there are three scriptures, and I am out of time, but I do want to touch real quick on something. Luke 19 is talking about, the sister parable to that is in Matthew, where they talk about the parable of the talents. Here in Luke 19, they talk about the parable of the, is it the minas? Mina? It's a form of money. It's like a 3 years worth of salary. I've read that parable, but I've never heard that word, because we always talk about the parable of the talents. So that was talking about the master who gave his servants an amount of money, and he gave them time to use it wisely. One person made 10 times the amount of money. Another servant made 5 times the amount of money. One servant wrapped the money in a handkerchief and handed it back to him. Sometimes we don't understand how useful our talents are. Sometimes we get backwards what's important. In Romans, that second one, in Romans, we're instruments of righteousness to God. Raise your hand if you've ever seen an orchestra. How great would that orchestra sound if it was only made up of flutes? Now, flute players are like, yeah, I'd rock. It takes all different kinds of instruments to make beautiful music. We are instruments of God's righteousness. His will works through us. The last one on there is actually one of my favorite ones. And I'm over by 1 minute. But do y'all mind if I just read those verses real quick? 1 Corinthians 12, if we turn there. Verses 21 and 22, that's where I'm actually going to start. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And it goes on and on. So I want to ask you something real quick, thinking about the body. What is the most unimportant piece of the body that you can think of? The most unimportant. Talk to your neighbor real quick. Just come up with one. What is the most unimportant piece of the body? We don't need it. We can do away with it. Somebody say it. What? The tonsils. What else? The what? Appendix. Yeah, that comes out. But you know what? Now they've discovered that we do need it. What else? You know what I think of? This is what I think of. The least important piece of the body to me used to be the eyebrows. What do you really need them for? I mean, if you lost them and shaved them off, it would look funny, but really, what do you need them for? I didn't learn that until I was around Mike Brown, who is Miss Gardner's nephew. Mike Brown was a friend of mine, and he was burning trash in his driveway in a big barrel, and he lit the fire, and it went, and guess what happened to his eyebrows? They singed off. He looked funny. We thought it was hilarious, but it was no big deal. Until he had to mow the yard the next day, and the sweat started running down his face into his eyes. And that is when he realized the purpose of the eyebrow. It is to direct the sweat away from his eyes or to absorb the moisture. Some of us may feel like we're an eyebrow in this congregation. Some of us may feel like we're not that important. I'm here to tell you, every single one of us has talent. Every single talent is important, and every single talent should be used. When we signed up for those work groups a few weeks ago, I didn't sign up for cooking meals. Do you know why? I can cook, but it's not my favorite thing to do. I'm in awe of the people that can cook a meal because I know you have to plan it. You've got to go shop for it. You got to take the time to cook it. You got to plan how you're going to get it over there and keep it hot. And you got to coordinate it time so you can drive it to a house. That is huge to me. And some people feel like that just because the only thing that they feel like they can do is cook a meal, that they're an eyebrow when it comes to their talents. Not so. In conclusion, we are all women of promise. God knew us from the beginning and blessed us with specific talents. We should recognize, value, and use our talents, not only because they're a gift from God, but because we're members of the church, responsible for raising the next generation, for fostering affection for the brethren and our fellow sisters in Christ, and helping the church grow. We are all women of promise. Now, I'm looking at the clock, and I took 5 minutes over. So, I know everybody would like to still get out on time. So how about if we do this? Instead of a 15-minute break, are y'all okay with a 10-minute break? Are y'all good with that? Okay. So in 10 minutes, that means that we would be back in this room, in our seats, at 2:15, all right? So 2:15, 10-minute break. And then are we singing after that? Kay's just going to pop up? Okay. Then in 2:15, Kay will be up here.